Well, this morning we're going to be diving into our message series once again, learning. And I don't know about you all, but I know it's been kind of wrecking me as I've been studying. I thought that I had love, but man, I am so impatient at times. You know, I am not exactly kind all of the time. Definitely deal with arrogance and pride, like every single little piece of what love is. God's been kind of convicting me in a healthy way. So we're going to be continuing here our message series, Love Is, learning how to love the way that God loves us. And so as we've been talking about, you know, we were created with the need for love. And love can only be experienced through relationships with one another. Lots of different kinds of love, lots of different kind of relationships, but what we're focusing on is the agape love of God, the kind of love that we are supposed to not only possess, but also express in every relationship, no matter what it might be. And we're kind of breaking this down piece by piece, as Paul did to teach us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, of what this love looks like and how it acts. As we were reminded, every single one of these words in the Greek, they are not adjectives to describe love. They are verbs. They are actions. They are what love does. Love is an action. It is not a lofty idea or philosophy. The love of God is an act. The love of God is an act. And so we turn here to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to start in verse 1 again. And he said, "If I speak in the tongue of men or of angels, but I have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I have gained nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. And it is not self-seeking." And that's what we're going to learn about this morning. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. Now, depending on the translation of the Bible that you're reading from, these words are translated in many different ways. You may read that it is in the NIV's case, that love does not dishonor others. You may read that it is not rude, that it does not behave unseemingly or unbecomingly. You may read that it does not behave rudely. It does not act improperly. It is not ill-mannered. It is not injurious, meaning it doesn't inflict injury on people. And that it doesn't force itself on others. You guys ever meet a Christian that was kind of forceful when it came to salvation? They'll like corner you until you pray a sinner's prayer and then you can run away and like, never want to encounter that again, right? Those are all, depending on what translation of the Bible you read, those are all different translations for this one Greek word when it talks about how love does not dishonor others, how it's not rude. Now the next word, in the NIV, it reads that it's not self-seeking. You may read in other translations phrases such as this, that it does not seek its own, that it takes no thought for itself, that it doesn't seek its own advantage, that it isn't selfish, that it doesn't look out for only its own interests, that it does not insist on having its own way, that it isn't always me first. And as in the video we just seen there, what was the word that they used? It does not, what is the word? What, take advantage, so take advantage of others in that way? I can't think of the word that it used. I'm like, wow, that's powerful too. You know, that it doesn't put itself first. It's not selfish. It's not self-seeking. The love of God is not those things by any means. You know, but sometimes it's easier to understand what something is by describing what it is not, right? Because you know when you see something that is not loving. You know when you see someone acting selfishly or acting rudely or acting improper towards someone else, you know that's not love, right? You can recognize that. But if all of that is true, what is love? And I had to force this in because the title of this sermon series is Love Is. And the reality is love is honorable. It's just the opposite of those things. Because when we act with honor, then we're not going to be rude. We're not going to be unbecomingly. We're not going to act improperly or force ourselves on people. You don't do those things when you're honorable. When we act with honor, we don't look only to our own interests. We don't insist on getting our own way. Life won't be me first. when we act with honor. So love is honorable. Honor is sort of the opposing side of these things. And I kind of want to get one thing sort of clear up front. There is a difference between honor and respect. Respect is earned. Honor is unconditional. And it's hard. The best way that I could think of is I woke up in the middle of the night this last night of a way to describe it is a little testimony of a situation that I had once. And some of you have heard it before. For those of you who haven't, it's a fun story. But way back in the day when Becky and I first got married, she was working at McDonald's. And there's a couple of guys that she worked with. And he hadn't seen his family for a long time. So he decided to get a Greyhound ticket, go out and visit. But he needed a ride back home. And so Becky volunteered me, and I had no problem doing it by any means. So I go down to the Greyhound station in Pittsburgh, pick them up. I'm in this, old caravan with the wood grains on the side, Becky's aunt just gave it to us. I had to fill it with a quart of oil every time I drove it, but, we were good. Kind of give you a picture of what was happening. So I'm coming up 28, and I get past RIDC Park before Harmer, and all of these state police cops surround me and pull me over. And as I pull over, the state trooper comes up, he grabs me by the arm, throws me out of the car, throws me down, puts handcuffs on me. He starts frisking me, grabs my insulin pump, tears it off, And so I'm not respecting this guy right now by any means. In fact, I have to keep telling myself, just stay calm, don't react, because it's just going to make it worse. If you start spouting off or you start, fighting this guy, it's not going to go well for you. State troopers don't appreciate it, I didn't have any respect for that guy, but I had honor for him. I know what he deals with on a regular basis, and he probably assumes worst-case scenarios all the time, and for that reason, I didn't go, running up 28, handcuffed, trying to get away from him, right? I honored his position. I honored who he was in society and the role that he performed. Did I have any respect for him in that moment? Absolutely not. Not at all. I can't believe I was getting treated that way when I did absolutely nothing wrong. And long story short, they thought that these guys were smuggling drugs. And I was scared at one point because he took the guy's suitcase out and started lining up all of these spice containers on the back of my vehicle on the bumper. And I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I'm going to end up in Allegheny County Jail for driving around, a drug dealer. And all I'm trying to do is give a guy, do a guy a favor and give him a ride. And turns out, he wasn't lying. He did like to cook. They brought in the canine unit, no drugs. He packed his own spices whenever he drove around because he liked to cook. So it was an emotional roller coaster, It's a bad experience for me, but it gave me a fun story. But do you see how there's a difference between honor and respect? You can honor somebody mostly because of their position and still have absolutely no respect for them. It's possible. Now, thankfully, the guy apologized to me afterwards and everything. He explained himself. He explained what they'd been dealing with. And, so I understood where he was coming from, But, yeah, you can honor somebody and not respect them. So that's the preface to all of this. We're talking about honor, not respect, that has to be earned. Honor. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines honor as to salute with a bow in square dancing. It's not exactly the definition we were going for, but it is the first definition. And I thought that that's actually kind of a cool picture of what honor is. To honor somebody, I bow down my life in order to exalt them. That's honor. That is honor in a picture. Whenever you honor the king, what do? You bow down, right? Sometimes on your knees, you bow down. If you ever see me in worship, it's not some flaky thing, just overwhelmed by the King Jesus, that you bow down before him in honor is a sign of honor. Whenever a judge walks into a courtroom, what do? You rise. Do you wear a ball cap in a courtroom? We learned that recently. No, he will ask you to remove them, It's just, again, a sign of honor. Not pointing any fingers at Joe, but anyways. He got called out. Whenever a bride walks into the room, as she starts down the aisle, what does everybody do? They rise to honor her. There's different things that we do to express honor in these different situations. Now, the more appropriate definition for honor is to regard or treat someone with admiration and respect. That's the true, you know, the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition of what we're looking at. And it is really the biblical definition as well. When you honor somebody, you regard or you treat somebody with admiration and respect. And so you see how this kind of gets iffy, right? Because I just talked about how respect and honor are two entirely different things. Yeah, we're going to dive into this a little bit. It's a tough, tough teaching, and I know I'm being challenged on it myself. But in essence, when you honor somebody, you're assigning value and worth toward them. And of course, we know that the greatest expression of love, the greatest expression of honor, was when Jesus honored us, assigning our value and worth when he gave up his own life on the cross. And even before that, when he lowered himself from heaven and wrapped himself in flesh like us, he chose to honor us by lowering himself. To honor is both how we treat and how we act towards somebody or something. Honor can be taught. Honor can be taught, right? Some were brought up to never call teachers by their first names. It's always, you know, Mr. Parks or Mrs. Smith. You never, ever, ever called. To this day, even working at the school, I cannot call my kids' teachers by their first names. Even when we're on the basketball court and we're cheering, I just can't, you know? It's always going to be Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so. It just feels wrong to call them by first name. And why is that? Because that's the way I was raised. You know, that's the way we were raised at home and in our schools. Some were taught to take their shoes off when they enter someone's home. Some were raised to always address someone as sir or ma'am. Right? These are ways of honor. Some were raised to never eat or drink in a sanctuary, right? You know, as Tammy puts her water bottle down. Personally, I don't have that conviction. I'm cool with it. But, you know, some people were raised that way, and it just feels wrong to them. Some people were taught to say good morning to their bus driver every day whenever they get on the bus, you know, to honor them. Some were raised never to wear a hat while they're eating. It's a sign of honor, respect. Some were taught to say, like, thanks be to God after the scripture read publicly. Remember first time I went to a church and that happened. I'm like, whoa, what just happened here? You know, the preacher quoted the word of God and everybody in unison, you know, they're like, thanks be to God, you know, or when, anyways, there's a bunch of those. Okay, here's a big one that gets controversial here really quickly in our culture, right? We rise and we take off our hats to the playing of the national anthem. Right? We don't take knee, we rise, you even put your hand over your heart, you know, to the playing of the national anthem. We thank those who wear an indication of service to our nation. When you see somebody out and about and they're wearing a ball cap or, you know, have some sign that they served in the military, you thank them for their service. It's just a way to honor them. Waiters and waitresses, you tip them. You hold the door for people behind you. This is one that is missing in our culture. Whenever you're walking down a sidewalk, you know, I was kind of raised that men are supposed to be on the road side of the sidewalk. So if a car splashes, you take the blunt of that, right? Not your lady. Whenever somebody defeats us in a good competition and it's a good game, you applaud them. And you say good game, right? We see even our little kids being taught that. Some of them, and I love seeing it when a coach, like, pulls another person. They're like, you know what? You didn't say good game to that girl. Yeah, she whooped your butt, but you need to congratulate her, right? I love it when coaches do things like that. Congratulate people. When you're in a competitive sport and somebody gets injured, you take knee, right? And then you applaud when they're okay. Just signs of honor and respect. You know, it's a sign of honor in most households to pray before you eat. You know, whether you're out and about or at home. And is it commanded in the scriptures? No. Nowhere at all is it commanded that you do that. It's a good thing to do, though. It's a sign of honor. Again, like we talked about at communion, it's a reminder. I give thanks because it's thanks to God that I have anything at all. It's a good time to remember and to honor him. And I could go on and on and on. But what all of these things are, they are all examples of how to honor somebody or something. It's a sign of honor. None of them are black and white, morally right or wrong, even though we may feel that way about some of these things. All of these acts, they are cultural. They are customary of whether you do this or not. So if you go to another nation, you know, you may think that, I'm trying to think of an example of this. I'm sure there's a lot of them out there. But something that is a sign of honor here may actually be a sign of dishonor somewhere else. Maybe going up and shaking someone's hand, you know? In other nations, they may bow to say hello and thank you, and to touch each other like that may be offensive. Here, hey, how's it going? You know, you shake hands, and it's a sign of honor, and you're respecting that person. They're customary, they're cultural. But each one, in my opinion, does an incredible job at displaying honor. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to treat you with respect, because love is honorable. And in fact, love, here's the tricky part, love would actually honor the culture and traditions of others even if we don't agree with them, or that's not the way we would do it. Love does that. Love honors those things. For example, and I'm not saying this is true, this is not true about us, but, you know, let's say, for example, my kids. Whenever we're at home, they just run around the house like hoodlums. They got their shoes on. They're tracking mud everywhere. And, you know, and we just don't care about that. We're like, yeah, you leave your shoes on. When you go to someone else's house, if you notice that the shoes are lined up when you walk in the door, what do you say? Take your shoes off, you know? Right? We honor, because we love those people, we honor them. We respect the traditions in their household and in their, you know, house culture. At home, maybe as soon as the food hits a plate, I'm devouring it. But you may notice in other households, everybody waits until everyone is served, and you pray before anybody takes a bite, right? You know, so when you're in that house, you honor their traditions. Because you love those people, you display honor, and you follow whatever they do. It's just, again, and a lot of us, you got to teach your little toddlers that, you know, that, okay, this is the way they do it here, so we're going to honor them. We're going to honor those people. It's a good thing to instill at a young age, because otherwise, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's really hard, you know, whenever you have certain things instilled in you. Biblically speaking, Paul dealt with this issue on a regular basis. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, if you want to read it for your own time's sake, they dealt with this thing. Because people were coming to salvation through Jesus, and they came from radically different backgrounds, different upbringings, different cultures, literally different religions. And what Paul is dealing with in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 is dealing with eating food that was sacrificed to idols. To some people, that is totally wrong. You do not do that. Like, you're honoring demons by doing that kind of thing. And to other people, they're like, it's meat. And that idol that it was sacrificed to is nothing. So I'm going to chow down. You know, I'm not going to let the steak go to waste. Are you kidding me? You know? So how Paul addressed this situation and the conclusion that he came to is exactly what we just taught. That you practice the customs of others because you love them and because you don't want to be a stumbling block to their faith. Okay, you may have no problem kicking back and watching the game and cracking open a cold one, you know, and have no problem with that. Biblically speaking, you're fine. But when you go into a household, and that entire household dealt with alcoholics all their lives, and alcohol is just, don't do that in front of them. Don't be a stumbling block to them. That's the point in the teaching that Paul was getting to. And that's where he taught that knowledge puffs up, love builds up. That's where that quote came from, dealing with that very issue. Paul goes as far as to write this. He said, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I'll never eat meat again, so that I never cause them to fall. That is honor. That is honor. Even though he had no problem, he didn't see it as sin doing that. If it causes someone else to stumble, then I'm not going to do it. It's a tough teaching. Love is honorable. Now, the Bible teaches us to honor many different positions. Things like our parents, spouses, employers, governmental authorities, leaders of the church. Those are positions that the Bible teaches that we honor. We just do it. Now, as a quick reminder here, we always teach this in our preschool class. You know, you got to honor your father and mother. But does your mother and father cease to be your mother and father when you turn 18? No. How about 30? No. 70? 80? No. This is a lifelong application. You honor your mother and father. And the Bible says there's a promise of that. You enjoy long life, right? So it continues on. It's a good reminder and a challenge for us. Now, God requires that we honor these positions with no strings attached. See, we have a tendency to add to the Word of God and to only honor people who are honorable. This is a very, 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 very hard thing to live out, because the Bible doesn't teach that at all. It just says to honor these positions. God tells us to honor them even if the people in these positions give us no reason to honor them. If they live very unhonorable lives. This is when you got to really, really, really start trusting in Jesus and not leaning in your own understanding. Now, the best example of this that I can think of playing out is David and Goliath, right? David and Saul. I'm not going to go through the whole story, but David chose to honor Saul because of the position he held. He was the king over all of Israel. Now, David was anointed to be the next king of Israel. But David chose to honor the position, even though Saul was anything but honorable. Saul was literally throwing javelins trying to kill David. In fact, it ended up looking a little bit like Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner for a long time. For many years, Saul, the king of Israel, chased around David trying to kill him. Yet David refused to dishonor this man, only because of the position he held. Because God commanded that you honor the king. And even though the king's trying to kill me, and even though I have every right, and all of his friends were telling him to do it, just kill him, just be done with it, take your rightful position. God has anointed you as king. David just wouldn't listen to the advice of his friends and family. He silenced all that, and he chose to honor a very dishonorable man, only because of the position he held. It's just a great example of what happened. Now, in due time, and I believe because of David's choice to do that, God did honor David. He exalted David into Saul's position as king over all of Israel, and he was an amazing king. He was just successful at almost everything he set his hand to. The nation experienced peace that they had never experienced before. As a result, he was very successful, and not only because of his position, but because of the lifestyle that he chose to live, he earned the respect and the honor of the people of his nation. They respected him and they honored him. David also, and I love this picture, chose to honor men whom society had rejected. About 400 men. They were described as those who were in distress. So in other words, they're kind of running from the law, you know, lawbreakers, they're in distress. Their life is just falling apart. You know, their wife left them and took the dog too, and that kind of thing. They're just, generally speaking, these men were distressed. They were in debt head over heels, and they were just discontented. He gathered them around him, and he became their commander. And because he chose to honor these people that no one else would honor in society, they were transformed into what the Bible records as his mighty men. And the Bible records all these crazy acts that they performed. The nation had given up on them. David chose to honor dishonorable men, and it transformed their lives. It's just powerful to think about. And that could be the whole message in a nutshell. I'd love to dig into that a little more. But anyways, we'd be wise to kind of follow his example, because the love of God is honorable. And it transforms someone's life when you give someone honor and they don't deserve it. Most people know they don't deserve it. And when you choose to honor them anyways, something breaks in them. I'm telling you, it like paves a highway to Jesus when you choose to do that kind of thing. It's powerful, because after all, isn't that what Jesus did for us? But it's difficult, because whenever you're wherever, at home, at church, you know, standing around at work, and the murmuring and the complaining begins, it's so easy to agree with it. Why? Because it's probably true. It's probably true, right? You know? It's easy to begin slandering and gossiping, because the people in any of those positions, they're exactly that. They are people. Flawed, sinful people. And they will absolutely give you a reason to dishonor them. They will. It's just going to happen. That's when we're faced with that choice of whether to do what God is calling us to do, or to dishonor God. Either to honor God or to dishonor Him, by either honoring people or dishonoring them. It's a tough road to walk. It really, really is. So we have to choose to agree with God. Now, that doesn't mean that you agree with every decision they make. It doesn't mean that you respect them, but it means that you honor their position. It means you silence that kind of talk, and you try to serve that person. It's not easy to do, but it is possible, and it changes things. Because when we choose to unconditionally honor people in these positions, ultimately, we're honoring God. We're honoring what He's telling us to do. And when we honor God, I've almost never seen this not work. When you honor God, God will honor you. Now, it may not happen instantaneously overnight to the way that we want it to, but if you choose to keep serving and honoring that jerk supervisor that's lying and everything, truth has a way of revealing itself, and you will be exalted in due time. And if those people are acting in unhonorable ways, just leave it in God's hands. He will work it out. He will take care of that. He's not unaware of it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 7 says this, "Be content with who you are." That's a message for today for sure. Everybody always wants to be somebody else. Just be happy with who God created you to be. Be content with that. Be confident in that, of who you are, your strengths, your abilities, your weaknesses. Be content with who you are and don't put on the airs. God's strong hand is on you, and He will promote you at just the right time. Live carefree before God, because He is most careful with you. Live carefree before God. Choose to honor others and just leave their decisions in God's hands. And at just the right time, because God's strong hand will remain on you, because you're choosing to honor somebody, God will honor you and He'll promote you at just the right time. Hang in there. It happens. I have personal life testimonies of times that it happened, and it's exciting when it does. It's not fun for the years leading up to that point, but it happens. Now, when it comes to the love of God, honor, it's an amazing expression of His love. He honors us. God's love does not dishonor us, though I could give Him, He has 1,000 reasons, if not more, to dishonor me. He could call me out on the carpet of all of my sin and shame and give me no reason to be honored whatsoever. He knows everything that's inside of this head. He knows all the mistakes I've made in my life. And He could choose to do that, to dishonor me in front of everybody. He could bring a prophet in here and call out every hidden sin in my life, so that nobody would ever respect me again. He could do those things. By the way, that's why we shouldn't hide sin. Just get it out there, and then He can't ever use anything against you. Jesus could do that. Jesus could be self-seeking. Jesus could sit on His throne in heaven, looking down His nose at you and I, and just pour out His wrath on us, because we deserve it. Jesus could do those things, and it would not be wrong. But He chose something different. He chose to honor you and I. He chose to cover our sin and shame. Look at Adam and Eve in the garden when they were hiding from Him because of their sin. He pursued them. He killed an animal and He covered them up. He made them some garments of fur, right? He covered their sin and shame. That's what Jesus does for you and I still today. He knows the depths of our hearts. He knows our selfish attitudes and motives, and yet still He loves us, and He trusts us, and He honors us. Now Jesus, who He knows our sinful human condition, He gave us a parable to understand how honor works. And we find this here in, Luke chapter 14, verse 7 through 14. So Jesus, He's at this party. And it says, when He noticed how the guests kept picking places of honor at the table, He told this parable. He said, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, don't take the place of honor, because a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. Then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place, because every other chair between there was taken. So you get put at the bottom of the line. Jesus said in verse 10, But when you're invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he'll say to you, friend, come on, move on up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled. But those who humble themselves will be exalted. It's pretty fairly straightforward teaching, right? Very straightforward. If you humble yourself, God will exalt you. If you exalt yourself because you think you're something awesome, he will humble you. It's just a matter of time. However, here's the catch. This is why Jesus didn't stop here. Because he knows that love not only does not dishonor others, as was this case, love is also not self-seeking, right? Because if we choose to humble ourselves just so that we can be exalted in front of everyone else looks at us and thinks that we're something awesome, that we're pretty close to this person who invited us, then we completely missed what Jesus was teaching here. You completely miss it! Because you're thinking of yourself first, selfish motives. That's not love. That's actually pride or false humility. It's not at all an honorable motive for humbling yourself. If you humble yourself just so that you can be exalted, well, you're actually going to get humbled even further because you still have pride in your heart. You're still trying to exalt yourself. You're just exalting yourselves through humility. Isn't that so twisted, the way the enemy can work? Okay, so Jesus went on and he taught us this. This is humility. Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers and sisters, your relatives, and your rich neighbors. Because if you do, you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Then you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So you see, like, Jesus instantly deals with this heart issue. Instantly deals with selfishness in our heart, because that is not what the love of God is. And he says, when you have a party, invite people who can't repay you. Invite people who aren't going to invite you back over to their place when they have a party, right? Instead, invite people who can never repay you. And I'm telling you, who we are, who we truly are, it is most clearly revealed in how we treat people who can give us nothing in return. That reveals who we are. That reveals our character. It reveals our heart. How do we treat people who could never repay us for whatever it is that we do for them? Our character not only is revealed, but I'm telling you, if you want to break that in your life and you want to truly love as God loves, then start serving and honoring those people, and it will break you. It will mold and shape your character in a way that nothing else can. When you serve the least of these, people who can do nothing for you in return, and that is honor in its most practical form. Laying down your life to lift up someone else who can never give you any honor in return. Love looks to the needs of others and considers how it may help them. Love is honorable, right? And that's exactly what Jesus did for you and I. That's exactly what he did. Though he owed us nothing, he chose to dishonor himself by being wrapped in flesh and shamefully dying on the cross. Right, he paid a debt that he did not owe because we owed a debt that we could never pay. Honor. Jesus chose to honor you and I while we were still living lives that were anything but honorable. Take a look at the prodigal son. The father didn't wait until the son had cleaned up his life and cleaned up his act before welcoming with opening arms and putting the signet ring on him, right? No, he accepted him exactly as he was while he was still living a dishonorable life that spit in the face of everything that that father did to raise his child. Because of that, look what happened. His life was transformed. Jesus assigned our worth and value as he gave up everything to freely offer us the gift of eternal life. And though we could never, ever begin to repay him, Jesus chose to make the sacrifice anyways. Even though we could never repay him, he chose to honor you and I with his life. To him, you were worth it. You were totally worth the sacrifice. Totally worth it. Love is honorable. And you see, whenever we choose to dishonor people or things, we often miss out on something awesome. Most of us have had experiences when we get to know somebody who everyone else disregards and makes fun of, you know. But when you take the time to get to know them, they're amazing people. And everyone else is missing out on something, you know. They're missing out on something. If they just took the time to get to know them, if they just put the effort in, right? If they just humbled themselves and got to know that person. We've probably also had situations when we were misjudged by other people on first impressions, right? Like, that's not me at all. If you just take the time to get to know me, you'd know that's not who I am. But you can never break that mindset of people, right? It's easy to see people as they are and not to look through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, who will prophetically show us their potential. Not only seeing who they are now, but also seeing who God created them to be. It's that ability that the Holy Spirit gives us that gives us reason to invest in people and to honor people who are not honorable, who are not living honorable or respectable lives. You know, especially with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to learn to see beyond the person and to see Christ in them. Especially if they put their faith in Jesus already, we need to learn, whenever Steve gets up to the microphone, like, oh, there he goes again. Come on, what's he going to say, you know? And to miss out on what God is speaking through that person and to hear the voice of Jesus. It's so easy to dishonor people, and without even realizing it, you're dishonoring God. And you're silencing your ears to his voice. And you're not letting him move through you. Because you're thinking, oh, whatever, you know, they prayed for me 100 times now and I'm still struggling with this. Oh, well, let Jesus be Jesus through their lives. Don't dishonor people and miss out on what God wants to do. It's so easy to do this. Because take note of what happens otherwise. It happened to Jesus, right? We all know this story. Mark chapter 6. Said Jesus left there and he went to his own hometown. Can you imagine the welcoming that Jesus is going to receive in his own hometown? I mean, he's going out, he's raising the dead, the blind see, he's forgiven sins, the lame are walking and leaping, the mute are singing and rejoicing. All these things are happening, and then Jesus comes back to his hometown, right? I mean, there's probably a parade going on. Not exactly. So when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. So, okay, all the rumors are true. They're amazed that he's teaching with such authority and boldness. Then the questioning begins. This is murmuring and gossip at its core. It erodes honor and respect, and it causes us to miss out on what God wants to do because the Holy Spirit won't move through gossip and slander. He just won't. You're opposing him when you do these things. The murmuring started. And you hear it in church, right? So Jesus, he's up there on the Sabbath day, which is a Saturday for them, not a Sunday. And he's teaching. And then the murmuring starts and the questions start. Where did this man get these things? What's this wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles that he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? Isn't this the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? By the way, Jesus had brothers and sisters, right? Good Bible trivia right there. They list off the brothers, they don't list off the sisters. Jesus had brothers and sisters. And what does it say happened when all this murmuring and gossiping started? And those are legitimate, truthful questions, right? They're not being mean. They're not being dishonest. Those are honest questions. But it said, here's what happened in their hearts because of this murmuring and gossiping. It says, and they took offense at him. Who does he think he is? This is Jesus. This is Judas's brother. Come on. Do you remember that time when we were with him and blah, 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 you know? And in verse 4, it says, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown, among his relatives, and in his own home. Right? Some guys can amen that. Yeah, amen. I get no respect at home. I get it at work. Get it when I'm at DeMayo's. I don't get it when I'm at home. I get disrespected, right? We need some more. No, I'm the only one. Can't get no respect. Anyways, but Jesus said that. He's honored everywhere else, but when he goes to his own home with his own relatives, all they see is little Jesus that I grew up with. Little Jesus whose diaper I changed, you know? Because it's legitimate. That was the reality. They grew up together. And because of that, because they only saw him through that lens, and they couldn't see King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they couldn't see the Savior in this man, it says that he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Because they dishonored him, there was no faith. Because there was no faith, there were no miracles. There were no great works. We need to start learning to see Jesus in people. People we grew up with. People that we know full well. I mean, come on, I'm Steve. I came here like, what, how many years ago? And I sat there learning under Kurt, you know? And that's why the district was like, an internal transition, like that never works. Because that person, they never get this. Honor, right? Because they're just so-and-so. And man, I remember giving words to him and he wasn't even hearing God, you know? Because of that. But when there's a culture of honor, when we choose to honor one another, oh, can God move? Can the Spirit flow? Can God do the miraculous? Faith rises up where there is a culture of honor. It's just how God moves. It's how his kingdom works. So we can't choose to reduce people down to our little opinion of them. If the people in the community that Jesus grew up in were able to do it to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then how much easier is it for us to belittle people around us and to dishonor them and to miss out, right? To miss out on Jesus in them and through them. We don't want to do that. Love is honorable. I'm going to close here with this. Because life is challenging, and I'm telling you, people will act foolishly. People will give you every reason not to honor them. They will give you reason to just lose all respect for them altogether. And I'm sure a lot of us have probably had those moments. Somebody that you kind of had up on a pedestal in your mind. You admired them. You respected them. And then you see them in a moment. And all of a sudden, it just sort of like kicks that stand out from under them. And you're like, I can't believe they just did that. I can't believe they just said that. And then guess what? We, as sinful human people, we never see them the same again. We can never give them the honor that they're due. We've got to be cautious with that because all of us are susceptible, right, to falling. But when we choose to honor one another and lift each other up, it's sort of like that balloon example, remember? When we lift other people up without shoving anybody down, we all are honored. We all are exalted. The glory of God can fall on a people when we choose honor, when we choose to honor people. In fact, the Bible teaches that in the body of Christ, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you just go back a chapter, that those parts of the body that are less honorable, we treat with special honor. I wear undies, right? Got some unhonorable parts. I got to cover them up. Give them extra careful cover, right? It's a reality. When the body of Christ chooses to honor the unhonorable, wow, does God move. Man, does Jesus get glorified and honored, and does he not meet us in that place and do the miraculous? And so the next time that happens to you, that you find yourself in disgust and ready to just dishonor somebody, pause. Take a pause. Get some perspective. They're a human being, right? They are prone to sin and temptation and shame, the same as all of us are. Before you just write them off and disregard them altogether, think about how Jesus treats you and I, because he sees us that same way. He sees us spit in his face as he's hanging on the cross for our sins. We do it with our lives. And yet he chooses to what? To honor us. He says, Father, forgive them. Because they don't even know what they're doing right now. That person that you've caught in dishonor, They don't know what they're doing to your opinion of them right now. They have no idea. So forgive them because they don't know what they're doing right now. And Jesus, help me to honor those who are not worthy of it. Enable me to assign worth and value to someone as you did, even though they're not deserving of it or worthy of it. Help us to forgive even as Jesus forgives us. Be like Jesus. Let his love flow in and through your life. Jesus honors you. We have no right to dishonor other people. You may not respect them, but you don't dishonor them. That love has the power to transform a life and to lead them to Jesus. And Jesus is able to do what? To bring beauty from ashes. He is able to take the most dishonorable of people who no one respects and transform them into new creation. Look at Legion, right? Legion, who is bound by many demons that they couldn't even bind him with chains. They kept throwing him out in the cemetery. They wanted rid of him. They wanted him nowhere near society. But when Jesus honored Legion, he was set free from all of his demons. And he sat there, an honorable and respectable man. And the people feared God as a result. Honor transforms lives. Wow. So let's pray. So Jesus, help us to love others with the love that you express to us. Help us not to act rudely or to dishonor other people. Help us not to act selfishly and to look only to our own interests, but help us rather to lay down our lives and to honor people. Jesus, help us. Give us ways to honor the people that we have no respect for. Jesus, show us ways to love the unlovable, to honor the unhonorable, and to show respect towards the unrespectable, Lord, even as you did for me. And I pray, Jesus, that as I choose to do that in faith, that you'd change their life, that you would help them to see that it's because of you that I'm able to do that. It's because of you in me, Jesus, that I can honor someone, even when they're not honorable, not worthy of it. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to do to transform the lives of those around each one of us. In your name, amen.